And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here and declare your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, at FMBEA, the beautiful studios of Freeze in the Nest, from East Phoenix, .com. Okay, here today we had, that was a great interview we had, Chris Suprock, he knew my new best friend. We're going to have him come in, and we'll do like a three-hour all day. We're going to bring Bob Anderson from Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant and talk about it and get everything settled. Because he's got new energy kind of helping with. But when you put in a new system into a nuclear power plant and they go bankrupt and won't pay you, that said, you know, this collectivist solution ain't working. do that technology down to the individual. Well, that's what segues us into Joshua Smith running for LNC chair. Let me tell you a little bit about Joshua, and then we'll get right to it. All right. Joshua Smith. Status Destroyer, founder of Think Liberty, Region 5 Rep, Libertarian Party of Washington, candidate for Washington's 49th District and LNC Chair Challenger at the Libertarian National Convention, which I'd be a-going right after the show. We're going there, and I'll be there till Wednesday, because they're going to, Monday and Tuesday, after everybody left, that's when they're going to screw you. I knew that in Orlando, man. Here it comes. I could see them, moving deck chairs. All right, here we go. My vision of chair. The chairman of the LNC should be the most vocal mouthpiece of the party. The intentions of the chair should be positive reinforcement of our principles, outreach, education, retention, and new membership. Well, they all say that. Okay, what else do we get? These key areas will be the roadmap to the success of the LP. We cannot drop principle in hopes to accrue those who don't agree with our message. We can only hope to show them the light that is sovereignty of the individual or self-ownership. The message of liberty stands on its own, but with a good messenger, it will spread like wildfire. I agree. Now, let's do a little testing here. Been trying to get Joshua come on, talk about it. All right, Joshua, say hello.
Hello. How's it going, Ernie? How you doing?
I'm more than wonderful. Okay, have we met before?
We have. I actually, my first convention on this convention tour that I just made was to the Arizona State Convention, and I met you there. You gave me your card. I've been crazy busy. Obviously, I've been to 21 states in the last 5 months, and I'm currently driving to New Orleans for the national convention.
Well, so. You just made it. I mean, the lad, man, you're squeaking in at the end there. You know, I see a lot of the pictures that Donna has up here. You got Adam Kokesh, selfieing with you and everything. We just had him on yesterday, giving, his update on whatever, Adam's always doing some creative whatever. So his, palling around with you, is that an endorsement? Are you Adam's guy or something?
Oh, I don't know. He hasn't made any public endorsements at all. I palled around with a lot of people in this party.
Yeah. His book, Freedom, I mean, as kind of a primer, I read that, and I'm going, cool, I guess you got to go to jail to write this stuff. So, you have free. That was, I'm going, yeah, this is a good first year. Everybody read this. And, no, by the way, Adam wrote, who cares? So I've been an activist for 30 years. This has been, I was Libertarian County Chairman for a long time, back in, started in 93, and it was hardcore, no compromise, we're going to get the message, education, if you don't like it, well, don't join us, and the pledge, I advocate, I do not advocate for initiation of force or fraud, you know, for political, social, economic gain kind of thing. And I'm going, this non-aggression principle and the mission statement or the statement of principles in the national documents is they say, look, man, we support the rights of the individual and we're against the cult of the omnipotent state. Well, they freak out at that. And I go, hell, that was my favorite part. You know, I'm going, we are against the adoration, the worship of this all-seeing, all-knowing state. And there's people want to take that out because, yeah, but it stops a lot of people from joining the party. I'm like, good. That was the point. You know, what say you?
Yeah, no, I 100% on board with the statement of principles. And in fact, there's a motion being made to, so when they originally created the statement of principles, they made it take a 7/8 vote to change.
I know.
I think it's great. I think it's great. But they are trying to pass motion on the floor to change that, I believe, to 5/6 or something where it would take less people. And I am vehemently against that. I think that we always need to challenge the cult of the omnipotent.
That's a point in your favor's point. Okay. So this is, I tell you, Nick lives here in Arizona, the current chairman of the Libertarian Party. I know his mind. He's been on the show a lot. I consider him and his family a friend and everything, but he pisses me off. I mean, you sit there and talk to him for any, I'm just like, you're killing me, man. You know, you're going to make me run against you because I've done it 4 times just for this reason, just to bring voice to this. So I'm like, I go to New Orleans, man. Donna's asking me, should I pack your suit? Should I pack your suit? I don't know. Wait till I talk to Joshua. Okay. Feel me? So I'm
like, absolutely. Absolutely. Look. The apathy coming from a lot of people in the national party currently or in the national leadership currently is really what drove me to run. You know, I think that we need to be one of the stated purposes in our bylaws for the party is to educate the public on libertarian ideals. And so we need to remember that our principles are what create this party, what created the need for this party.
What creates the support in the future for this party? You know, to be kinder, gentler, word, you know, left, right, it keeps changing all the time. And now with Bill Weld, they want to go left and make them bake the cake. Oh, yeah. God, give me the cake thing, man. What's your cake thing?
Oh, no. Yeah. I wouldn't force anybody to do anything they don't want to, especially if it goes against their principles.
So, yeah, but they got a government permission slip to be in business, so they have to.
I think that's illegitimate. So.
No, I think that's freaking stupid. I couldn't believe this. It's just bake the cake. That's Nick. He's a bake the cake guy. Bill Weld. All right, give me your Bill Weld thing. From the beginning, I'm going, oh, yeah, CFR coming in. You know, he's going to do VP. Yeah, right. He's just going to go away. Oh, and he vouched for Hillary. Yeah, he'll just go away. No, I go, he's going to be running in 2020 for president. You watch. And Nick goes, really? You sure? Yeah, I am. Okay. So you sit there and try and divert and tension, whatever. But he was very excited about Bill Weld being in there because they got the hobnob of some money. And it's always the promise of money. Oh, man. And they can buy the Libertarian Party on the cheap for $10,000 here and there and $100,000. Oh, my God, a million. Hell, they've spent, God, here in Arizona the last few years in different initiatives and campaigns and helping libertarians and being unsuccessful at it. The Democrats, I know, have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in mailings and support of libertarians because they believe that it helps them, you know, by carving off from the Republicans. So what does Bill Weld and these guys do? Oh, yeah, we need to go left. Let's go be buds with the left. Let's go bake cakes and stuff. Let's get the left in. I'm going, what the hell is going, where is there enough, this big tent you guys keep talking about, is there enough room in there for libertarians? Huh? Is there? Huh? I was wondering.
Jesus. Well, there better be, because we're the ones holding the tent up in the first place. So I have no problem with the big tent, as long as they're going to come over and at least try to understand our philosophy, our principles, and are going to, you know, fight for the rights of individuals. That's the most important thing about this party. That's why the party was created in the first place. You know, Bill Weld's not my first choice for president, and I've told people that several times. If he was to get the nomination and that's who the delegates happened to, you know, unfortunately choose, you know, as chair, I would be bound to support him. But, you know, the goal for us and for myself is to go out there and get candidates that are better. I believe that, you know, we've tried to push Pat Byrne to run, some other people. So there's people out there that have money that are free market guys, you know, libertarian principles and values, and I think,
oh, John McAfee wants to do it again. You know, it's going to be entertaining. The crap show is going to be New Orleans starting this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to bring. Yeah, I'll bring the remote. Damn it! All right, we'll be right back. Joshua Smith, from the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com. Oh, yeah. You had a computer?
No, I'm not, unfortunately.
All right. When you get to it, man, piratswithoutborders.com. Okay, this is my, you know, activism spiel, you know, in addition to Freedom's Phoenix and Declare and all that stuff. Piratswithoutborders.com is decentralization of everything. And we're showing the tech, like the guy in the first hour, you know, is all about energy and whatever. Our whole thing is the decentralization of everything. And the Libertarian Party has had such a preeminent, perfect perch position to go whip ass. And of course, Karl Rove and friends have done everything they can, certainly here in Arizona, to keep libertarians off the ballot. Well, of course they need to. But so what? I'm like, you know, I run as a write-in. I just want to put up signs and change the narrative and discuss what kind of, you know. So there's an opportunity. There's all kinds of stuff. But I'm tired of fighting national. I have been in this fight. I don't know. How long have you been in the Libertarian Party?
This is my second time with the party. I joined the first time in 2010. Didn't really find an outlet for my activism through the National Party in California, unfortunately. And I joined McCain back in 2016, decided I was going to join the fight politically and see what I could do. And since then, I've really made a name for myself and also some waves in Washington where I live. So
yeah, okay. Well, it's a history. I mean, it's all about the same thing it's always has been from the beginning. Whenever you become influential and can, you know, influencing public opinion, you know, just public opinion. I think this about that. You know what? Freedom good, government bad. I mean, you know, God, you do that and you're freaking people out. It's that. It's always just the general public opinion. That is what they spend gazillions of dollars on, trillions of dollars, generations of education, mandatory youth indoctrination camps, of whatever the hell, is that, you know, I got to go to the front of the white pages and find the blue page department of I get to do something, where's my permission slip. That mentality is what we're up against. And what happens is when they come into libertarian, it's influential, they go, well, we're going to do it a kinder, gentler, little slower, less taxation way thing. That is the death of the Libertarian Party. If you do not have the hardcore principles that everybody else keeps coming to you, they go, well, do you really think you could win running as, you know, president or governor or whatever as a libertarian? I go, hell, if I thought I could win, why would I run? I'd be living in a libertarian, you know, world. I'd just go get a job, man, or start a business. Or do you know, why would I? The whole reason this exists is to change public opinion. It was the education aspect of this. And you don't do that with compromise. You don't do that being mamby-pamby. You don't do that by trying to be on the Christmas card list if I get to go to the parties in Washington, D.C. So I'm just like, this has been my mantra all this time since before you were whatever the hell. And I'm sick of it. The libertarian movement is so much larger outside of the party, and it can be tapped with the right guy. Let's keep talking. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, some doobie, brother. Back in the day, libertarian, don't, the National was saying this. They'll go, don't run non-D, decriminalization of the drugs or anti-drug war or guns or anything, because then you'll scare the horses. You know what? You want to sneak in and kind of get in nonpartisan races and pretend and kind of and then maybe you can do a little bit of libertarian stuff. And I'm like, who the hell are you guys talking to? What do you think? So here in Arizona, we went guns and weed, guns and weed, guns and weed. And what happens? We get the most votes, the highest percentages, the most money. And what do? That nail sticking up, boom, you got to get in line with national. We're like, who the hell are you guys? We didn't care. They pulled us into this fight. The reason that I've run four times for national chair was to bring notice to this very battle that the libertarians, there is a big, giant collectivist effort to turn us into they, them, those. And in 2006, they stripped the entire platform so they could get Bob Barr. I'm like, what the hell? What did they promise you there? Then, you know, I like Gary Johnson personally, but he kind of, you know, milquetoast kind of, you know, eh. And then what the hell are you guys doing? Yeah, but what did Badnarik ever do? He didn't screw us. That's what I'm got. You know, so I'm like, all right, Joshua, I'm gonna let you monologue me, man. Convince me it's you. Convince me. You already know my thing. Convince me. Go.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think our message is super important. I think it's the most important thing we can do as a national political party. We have a large platform of over 800,000 followers just on our social media team. So, you know, something that I've been working on is putting together a policy team that can craft these messages for the American public. Like Scott Horton from antiwar.com. I think he's one of the greatest guys to talk about foreign interventionism. Yep. He's super smart. He can sit down and tell you to the date how things went down, how the government was involved. And he's really good at getting people to listen to him and understand his talking points. So those are the kind of people I've been talking to. You know, Scott has told me that if I win, he'll come to the party and do policy advisement for that.
Hell, get his butt on television. Say, get over on Fox News. You want to tell how in foreign policy and talk about your book, Fool's Errand of Afghanistan, and beat the crap out of him and have all the guys on. Go, Scott Horton, have him on all the time. We got so many resources in this movement that are outside the party because the party doesn't want to use them. Why? Why? What is behind it?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Look, none.
I want to win elections too. I do. I think that, you know, being able to get people into city council and county supervisor, all that stuff, it's important because, you know, they can actually get in there and change things locally, and all politics are local. That's where you feel them the most.
That's a side effect of the understanding of all of this. You're dang skippy. I tell you, man, Nick Sarwark is running for mayor of Phoenix. And I go and I say, Nick, give me a hook, man. Give me something, you know, no compromise, little something, something, something. Give me something, man. I'll go all pirate, man. I'm the sign guy. I'll love evolution on you. Man, let's go kick ass. What is it? Well, we got to be kinder, gentler on the guy. I'm going, no. It's got to be not less, not a little bit more, not a matter of degree of how enslavement. I need an issue. What's your issue? Give me your no compromise. Give me something. Give me something.
Well, mine is foreign interventionism first. That's
no war
for me.
Yeah, foreign intervention, man. You want to wait till they storm the beach of New Jersey? Maybe.
No, I want to stop bombing brown children overseas with my tax money. That's what I want to do. And
boom.
I think telling the truth is really important. I don't think we have to be like purposely inflammatory, but telling the truth is very, very important. And that's why I think putting together a real policy team with people who are actually at the forefront of these arguments, like Scott Horton and Michael Bolden and these people, those are the people we should be having help craft our messages. But they won't come to the party because of the milquetoast, not truthful messaging that we've been putting out over the last 10 years, as I've seen.
There's an ocean of activity outside. I talk to them all the time. When people think libertarian, I don't think they think Libertarian Party. You know, they may think Ron Paul or some local, you know, libertarian guy or the philosophy or something. Libertarian Party is not even on the radar screen in my mind.
No. And that's the thing. The first thing when I tell people libertarian, the first thing I get is, oh, like Ron Paul. You know, Ron Paul is in the GOP since the early 90s. I love Ron Paul. He's great. He's a great messenger for our principles. He's what brought me to liberty too. But we need people to say, oh, libertarian, like the Libertarian Party. That's what we need. We need people
with our
principles. So yeah, I agree 100%. We get those messages crafted in a way that we can pass them off to people and tell the truth. And we're gonna see some interesting games. I think, you know, I do a lot of outreach to the left living on the West Coast, obviously. And when I go and tell them, hey, you guys like taxes? They're like, yeah. I said, do you like that a third of your taxes go to bombing brown children overseas? No, I don't like that at all. Well, let's stop it, you know? And so I think that's where, you know, we got to find those key issues that we agree with everybody on and really drive those home. And that's why I think crafting a message.
Okay, I don't want to harp on any of the other candidates. I don't even know who's run, don't care, you know? But if you had the opportunity, you know, for, and it's not even necessarily Nick. I mean, probably Nick. But anyway, you know, you look at this and you go, what's your biggest criticism of what's happened over the last few years?
Oh, for me, I think that, you know, we have dropped principle. I mean, we have shoved a lot of our principles
like a hot potato.
Yeah, to make a name for ourselves in the political world. But we were already making a name for ourselves in the political world. This is what I like to tell people. In 2003, we had 30,000 dues-paying national members, and we were working on a $3 million budget. And I don't want to knock Nick too bad, but Nick just did an interview with the Texas State Party the other day. I was on the call. I did an interview with him as well. He said, look, we've had the greatest growth we've ever seen in this party. That's a damn lie. We have under 15,000 national members right now. That is half of what we had in 2003. And we are working on a $1.2 million budget, which is over half less than what we had in 2003. That's saying something right there, that we just came off of the most votes we've ever gotten for a presidential election. And we have half of the resources that we had 15 years ago. That there's a reason for that.
The damn Skippy there is. And they have
we are shoving them.
I'm no. Okay. I'm feeling a little better. You know, Donna, I might not need to take my garment bag. You know.
just come party, Ernie. It's gonna be electric.
Well, I was definitely gonna come party. But I, you know, my thing is I'm going, look, you know, if I have to, because, you know, I go, yeah, I'm in, sign me up, put me on, I get to do the debate. But what was my thing? Everybody was talking to me, we'll talk about Mises guys too. But everybody's like, oh, Ernie, we're going to this and you need to that. And kind of, I go, I don't want to split the vote. If there's somebody out there that's really doing the hardcore, we go back to principle and be a libertarian, yes, I'm that libertarian kind of thing, which I have on my, you know, here, I'll show you those that are looking at the video on my laptop. We did that right before the doctor died, when he did, I'm that libertarian. Well, what I did is I had these bumper stickers done. We went to Pork Fest and he died. And man, everybody wanted this. I only got probably two left, you know, and I put that, you'll see that on my laptop. Yeah, I'm that libertarian, you know, and when I go through, I always opt out when I go through TSA. Opt out. I'm an opt outer. Because I don't want to go through their machine, screw them. But, you know, I opt out, and what are they? Which bins are yours? That one. They pick it up, and what does it say? Yeah, I'm that libertarian on the laptop. Yeah, that's it. Okay, now we know why. You know? So I'm looking for that. You give me that libertarian, we're going to do woo and be proud of it. You know, and no, we're not changing the statement of principles. No, we're not, you know, doing it from 7-8, which is there forever and always. We're not doing it. We're going to be libertarian. Then what? I think Bill Weld's going to be busting in some people is what I think. That's exactly what's going to be happening. You know, when I talk to Adam, I'm going, all right, how many people are you bringing? Because it's going to be about numbers. And I could see, and I've been doing this a long time, and in Orlando, were you in Orlando?
I was not in Orlando. I could not make it, unfortunately.
Okay, so we're in Orlando, and you get, like, you know, some of you know, his initials are Aaron Starr, and a lot of these other guys, and Carling, people that I've just been, so forever, they get up, and they start making changes in the bylaws, and I propose this, and credential committee of whatever, and this, and I said, I can see what they're doing. They're wanting to make it. They're going to do LNC elections on Monday so that they can get all the people that, you know, go to the convention that leave on Sunday night. They'll have their guy. Hell, they won't even come till Monday, and they'll do whatever the hell they want. I go, get ready. Here it comes. So I go, you need to get your airline ticket for Tuesday. You know, I know you're staying through Monday, man. Get ready. So what'd they do? They're doing business all the way through Tuesday. They're going to be able to get your ticket for Wednesday. I'm going, yep, I can see it coming. They're going to be stacking this to do what they did. The same thing in Portland and 06. I mean, who's they? They, them, those. These milquetoast freaking compromising pieces. There has to be a revolution inside the Libertarian Party. So regardless of what anybody thinks about Adam, if he can just get some no compromiser, I read the Freedom book there and so on, and Joshua Smith is going to be all hardcore, I'm with you. You know, now one thing is that, I mean, it's good that you can get up and be no compromise on TV and do whatever. You know, Nick, you know, he runs a good convention. He's got, you know, control of whatever. And he's, you know, kind of looks good on TV and so on, does all that. But behind the scenes of what he's advocating for, my hell no. So this is what's going on. When you have Scott Horton and other people go up and talk about, you always have the final say. Yeah, well, he made, well, he disagreed and he said this and not really. Yeah, you know, everybody's, you know, it's diverse, kind of whatever, but I'm here to defend the principles and the platform of the party, and this is what the real official whatever is. And yeah, and everybody gets to have their say, but this is what the party is. So it doesn't matter what right. they say. I don't care. You know, a little diversity, a little disagreement, doesn't matter. But defend the principles and the documents and the party and quit trying to change it all the time and going down this dark path, in my opinion.
I agree. And here's the thing. A lot of people argue that, you know, the chair is just there to hold a meeting and be a mediator. That is the bare minimum of what a chair should be doing. That is not only what a chair should be doing. That is the bare minimum, the bare minimum. And we have to do better. We have to have a national leadership team that you know, can make these gains by passing our principles along. And I think that's
what okay. Before we come back, let me make this one other observation. The big thing that I was going on about, what you saw happen in the Levolution, is what I was always advocating. I'm going, I don't think you guys get it. It's spontaneous order. You cannot possibly have this libertarian uprising all coming through the party. Like, you're going to manage it. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. Hell, if you even had the capability, it wouldn't work. You got to let libertarian self-ownership minded, there's a ton of resources out there, let them do it. Ernie wants a purge. I don't give a... No, national chair gets up. This is the principle. Yeah, this candidate, he may make a bunch of money and get elected in California of whatever the hell. It doesn't matter. This is what libertarianism is right here. Period, done, end of story. Well, then they can do whatever the hell they want, man. It's free country. I don't give a crap. You can say whatever. But the point is you hold tight to that. Well, what happens? Then you become the Liberty Nexus. We used to call the Libertarian Party the Liberty Nexus. It was where all you know what I'm going to say this on there. You know, this part right here, and I'll give it to you and give you comments. Here's the high school dance. And you'll see what I mean. All right, here we're going.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah! Rock and roll on now here in the Clare! Your independence, real simple, dude, is how you do it. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government! Form! Okay, let me tell you what the Libertarian National Convention is. I'll tell you what it is. This is what it is. Yeah, Drew Phillips really made this observation. This is what it is. It's the high school dance. This is the high school dance. It's where all the cool people go to find out where the cool people party is. You know, they said, yeah, we go to the high school dance. Hey, where are we really partying? It's over here. Okay? Well, that's what's happened. So many people have left. What happens if you make the dance itself cool? Man, it's a homecoming. It's going to flood freaking in, and I guarantee that's what those are so afraid of. You make libertarian principle the focus, and it will flood, whether it's actually directly in the party or not, but there'll be a lot of help. When you have spontaneous order, like what happened with the Levolution, I was so sure what was going to happen because a dam had been erected in the Libertarian Party to keep this stuff back. And I go, watch what overflows over the top. Here it freaking comes, and I was very clear about it to everybody. You do not know what's coming because why? Ron Paul represented the libertarian philosophy, and I knew they were going to go and say, you're really libertarian. He goes, yeah, and you're really fascist and communist, and what's your point? You know, when he did that, we just marched in, we can march out, boom! And why didn't that go to the Libertarian Party? Bob Barr comes in after Ron Paul pulled out, and they said, we're in Denver. And they go, Ernie, oh, it's the Barr Levolution. I'm like, are you stupid? Well, really, you think I control it? You think it's right? I mean, you guys so don't understand decentralization. It's individuals out doing whatever the hell they want. And if the Libertarian Party became a Liberty Nexus, if you're, you know, you allowed for the artwork, you know, sit there and make fun and spoof the logo of, I don't give a crap. You know, everybody do it. Quit raining on everybody's parade. But Joshua, if you would just do one thing, libertarian principle is, here's the party, defend of the platform, this is what my job is, this is it, everybody else, peace out, you know, and you can't change it, certainly not until the next convention. You do that, and you will get a spontaneous uprising and support from the planet. Oh, yeah, and maybe that money and election stuff will start pouring in, but I don't freaking care. That's a side effect, and they're afraid of the success of that side effect. They're afraid that it'll happen, because then what? They lose control, and it's all about the control of the money, but it keeps dwindling. It goes from millions down to little bitty baby amount, and we made our bills. And we got a couple of big donors that are there paying for, and then they want something for it. What a rare! I see it coming. You do this, and you do it right. I'll be, man. Oh, I want to help. Feel me?
I do. I don't know if you've had a chance to read my platform or anybody. Nope. One of my four platform planks is literally to clearly define ourselves and reaffirm our principles. I think that's really, really important that everyone that's a member of this party understands that I will be reaffirming our principles.
And counter to that, they always go, well, then you're going to purge out and the other people won't run. So, well, probably. I mean, some people won't run because some people do. They just want ballot status. They're just communist of whatever the hell. You know, I had that happen here. But the thing is that if you are well-defined, it doesn't matter what they do. You know, people are going to see through it. People are going to know. They're going to go together. That guy's not really. Yeah, you're right. He's not. You know, but, you know, peace out and make good logos. I mean, it's a meme contest.
I don't know if you know this, Ernie, but there is a clear and self-described communist running for chair this year right now.
Of course there is.
How did we get here, Ernie? How did we get to where we are, where we have an actual communist running to chair?
Because you open. We said we're taking the sign off of the front door that says communists need not apply. We're taking it. No, everybody gets to come in as long as you give us some money and you got some voting block and you kind of, you know, everybody gets to come in and then we'll kind of, you know, put an L on the win of whatever the hell it is that we're doing because it doesn't matter anymore. And I'm going,
yeah, this money argument is ridiculous too, because look, we're in a time where there's people setting up privatized space industries. Like, there's libertarians out there doing libertarian stuff. You know, we have the crypto market where there's millions of potential libertarian activists and billions of potential dollars, and they don't want to see a communist chair this party. They don't want to see some milquetoast person up there talking about Bob Barr, you know, diatribe or whatever. They want to see someone who's a libertarian go up there and talk about their causes. That's why I've been able to bring so many people from the crypto community and big crypto companies.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of these guys, man. I mean, when they were like poor sitting around a picnic table at Porkfest, you know, how they're going to change the planet. I mean, like, you know, Eric Voorhees and Roger Ver and, a lot of these guys just sitting there going, Vitalik Buterin. I mean, all of them, they're going, yeah, we can change the planet. We're going to do that, you know, and they go to Libertarian Party. Hell no, you know, because they knew better.
Now.
Well, see. Okay, I can tell you this one story, and you'll understand. In 2004, when Benarik was running, it was Aaron Russo and Nolan, James, whatever his name was, you know, from The Machine. Well, The Machine saw that they were out. You know, it became Aaron and Badnarik because everybody, you know, the convention in Atlanta, they were like, oh, hell no, we're not the same kind of thing that's going on now. So they go, all right, that's why in 06 they had to strip the platform and they started, you know, doing all this crap because you collective, even the Libertarian Party, you know, it's a little collective of voting and I got a collective, you know. So what they did is they go, yeah, we're going to strip this. Well, they go to Badnarik right then. I could see him running up the aisle to go get to him and they wanted to have, we'll endorse you if you'll use our team that we were going to make all this money being managing of a campaign. You don't have any, so it'll be us and we'll endorse you. Nolan go up there and say, yeah, vote for him, and he beats Aaron. Aaron shot himself in the foot because he's on C-SPAN talking about environmentalism, whatever, for his Hollywood friends, and that's what killed it. So I'm going, all right, Badnarik gets it. First, do no harm. Badnarik, good guy, go up there and libertarian principle and freedom, constitution, you know, and freedom. So first, do no harm. I'm hip to that. At the same time, that was the summer that Spaceship One was going up. And on my radio show, I'm going, woo, we're going to space and government's not invited. We go there and I said, hey, man, there's going to be international television. You're going to have no tax funds going to putting a man in space. So first civilian in space. Libertarian need to be, woohoo, we're going to be there. You know, Dick Body from California said, I got an RV. We can go there. It won't cost him anything. Badnarik come, Libertarian presidential candidate, Spaceship One launch. They wouldn't do it. I go, what? And I call back. I get Badnarik. I go, Michael, what the hell, man? I am not, you know, I'm going to be a dick until you tell me you're not going. He goes, look, that was the deal that I do what they said. They do it, you know, so I'm going with them. I get to talk to the campaign. I'm going, all right, what is your freaking problem? Well, we don't see how we can make any money at it. I go, make money to do what? Well, buy media. I go, what the hell kind of media you think is going to be there? I go, what are you, stupid? Well, they didn't want that kind of media. They wanted the money to buy media, and they get a cut. It's been the same way with mailings. It's been the same ever since I've been dealing with the party. So then what happens? It gets international media, Spaceship One, Government Zero signs we have. We're all over the world. Big, you know, media coverage and all that. Then they're doing the next flight, and they go, hey, Ernie, can we tag along and, you know, meet with some of your billionaire buddies? Screw you. You had your chance. You know, this is what I'm dealing with. You know, this is, I'm so pissed off, and there's so much buildup, accumulation of bullshit. Oh, I say that out loud. That, you know, the crap, you know, that man, if you open, and then who do you have there? Jim Cantrell from Vector Launch Systems has his own rocket company in freaking Tucson. His son, Jim Colin Cantrell, good friend, Nexus Earth crypto guy, he's going to be speaking there. I know these guys. I went did 3 hours from their factory, rocket factory in Tucson with Davi Barker from Bitcoin Not Bombs. I'm in, man. I can see where this goes. The thing is that Nick, all right. We're going to break. Damn it! I'm freaking,
Jim Cantrell has helped fund my campaign quite extensively, and so has Preston Smith, one of the founders of Nexus Earth. So
wait a minute. Jim Cantrell did a fundraiser for Nick running for mayor, so he's kind of supporting him for that. But you for chair? I mean, how's Nick feeling about this?
I have no idea. I don't even know if Nick knows, but he helped me get to Tennessee. He helped me get to New Orleans. I mean, the Jim has helped me out immensely.
Oh, I'm feeling better about Jim now. I'm like, what the hell, man? I know. So, I'm for Nick running for, you know, mayor, but I'm just like, if it's the kind of the mamby-pamby little, you know, we'll fund it this way kind of and divert and sign. Now, I'm not in. That's not me. Joshua Smith, next segment, I might even let him talk, you know, because damn it. Right back.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, see, the second letter of Captain Mark is cryptocurrencies. You know, we did this, the third letter of Captain Mark is on hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. And they're working on it now. They were going to call it Hail, but I think they're going to call it Ahoy Chat or something now. We're working on it. And we go to Pork Fest. I've been screaming about this because in different cryptocurrency, even Bitcoin or certainly Zcash, Zencash, they have the memo field in the transaction when you do. And they go, okay, well, if you have zero proof at the beginning, they don't know who sent it, and only the person that has the private key can get it. Well, that means like you could have like pirate private communication. They can't even tell who sent it, right? Yep. And so they're working on that. So we'll be at Pirates, man. We endorse. Imagine the Libertarian Party has, you know, a bunch of libertarians out there doing private app, man, because Signal, you know, they map out all your whole database. Hell, 85% of what I didn't want them to know is who I was talking to, you know? Oh, but they don't know what you say. Oh, let me see. See, Joshua and Ernie, two freedom guys, they're probably talking about freedom, you know? But they map out your network. So I'm going, no, hell no. See, this is the kind of stuff, the foundational stuff that the freedom community needs and is in demand for, and what has built up an entire industry and crypto. I'm all in, and it is sitting there, and the Libertarian Party don't know what the hell they're doing.
They're quiet about it, completely quiet. I've heard them mention Bitcoin one time, and it was on an interview with one of the at-larges, Daniel Hayes, and he was basically screaming at people, "We take Bitcoin now. Where's it at? We don't see it. Where's it at?" Well, maybe if you started fighting for their causes, they'd come and donate.
Right. I'm just like, you know, we get all kinds of crowdsourced funding of ICO of doing kind of whatever the hell, you know, as soon as you actually offer something, you know, and just, right. It's so stupid. But I think it's not stupidity. It's willful ignorance. They have another mission.
They want political success so badly that they're willing to let go of our principles. And it's
ridiculous. We have showed in Arizona, the more uncompromised, the more clear you are, the more whatever you get, more. But that's what they saw is they go, wow, they got a lot of money. If we take them over, then we'll get that. And then it just disappears and it goes into, you know, Freedom's Phoenix or Levolution or something else. And they're just going, well, what happened? I'm going, God, are you that stupid? Yes, they are.
Yeah.
But I think what it is money supports stupidity.
I came from the revolution, Ernie. That's where I'm from.
Boom.
So when we're talking about that effort that we put in, those ethics, those, you know.
Could have gone to the Libertarian Party.
I'm trying to bring it, Ernie. That's the goal.
Man. I can help. I know how.
I like it.
All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
So good! So good!
I got you.
Woo!
I feel nice.
Yeah, somebody, bad guys, bad ideas, you know, best thing, they always come to me, oh, we need you to do that, we want you to do that. I go, the best thing is not piss me off. You know, it's, man, you don't want me against. I just, that, ooh, that'd be bad. Give me something to be for. So I've kind of stayed out of it. I mean, if I'm just like, man, I go there and there's, everybody's being all communist, I'm going, give me that freaking microphone. I go blah, 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 blah. Okay? Well, maybe I don't have to. Yay. I got other stuff to do, man, but I would love to help. I would love to be able to put, you know, kind of, man, let's go rock and roll, because this is the power that I have. Made you look, at least once. Made you look. I can make you look. No, a lot of people made you look, you know, and if you give me something to look at that I can support, man, I am freaking all over it. Well, Joshua Smith, you know, I'd be able to give me some first things you're going to do. You come in there and you chair, and we have the LNC meeting on, I don't know, when the hell they're going to do it now, Wednesday or something. You know, you got LNC meeting, what happens? What are we going to look forward to?
Well, one of the first things I want to do is start looking for some branding, a new kind of branding that will help us. And I want to put together a policy team to build messaging. You know, this
branding. What are you talking about? New logo? I mean, what? What are you talking about?
I think we need to get away from trying to act like the two old parties. And I think, you know, I talked to several people about this. Robin Corner, if you know who Robin Corner is, Scott Horton, like I said, Michael Bolden, I talked with Tom Woods, a lot of people that I want to come to the first LNC meeting so we can have kind of like a brain trust on how we take this party in a more principled direction and start finding some success.
You
so
don't have to bake the cake.
So I've said that I'll be in the first month of taking over, I'll be reaffirming our principles. That's the first thing I'm doing. I don't care if anybody hates that. That's what we're doing.
No, you go to the convention, voted for this. Hell, this is what I clearly represented. They put me in. Let's go whip ass. Boom, here comes the money.
There's millions of libertarians in this country that aren't in the party, and there's a reason for that.
Damn,
and we've
Skippy.
Talked about that reason plenty enough, but that's what we need to do. We need to reaffirm we are the Libertarian Party. We care about the individual, life, liberty, and property, and that's what we're going to talk about going forward. And if that, you know, drive some of the commies away, then hey man, I'm sorry for you, but we're libertarians. This is what we're doing, and so that's going to be my first month in office as the LNC chair. We'll be reaffirming our principles, clearly defining ourselves, and letting the people know that these are the principles we stand for, and these are what we're going to fight.
Oh, okay,
for,
here's another one. This is one that just people went, "What the heck was that?" Is they go, "Never Trump. We hate Trump, and Trump, and we vote for us because we don't like Trump, and left gives money Trump." You give a crap about Trump? Trump, could anybody care?
Oh, I don't care about Trump.
Yeah, Trump who?
I think I like I said, we're not going to pander to the two old parties. We're going to do our own thing, and that's, I think that that's going to bring us a lot more success. 60% of the population in this country is not voting right now. It's because they don't believe in the political process. They don't believe in the right-left duopoly.
I haven't voted since 02, and I've run for U.S. Senate, Congress, Secretary of State, County Court, and they always say, well, you don't even vote. Oh, I'm so glad you brought, let me tell you why. And they go, don't ask that guy that question anymore.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. We gotta take this platform and use it for what it was intended 46 years ago. And I'm sure that you know, a lot of stuff's going on right now. Mr. Nolan and Murray Rothbard would be rolling over in their graves if they knew what was happening.
Oh, okay, so that brings up Mises, all right? Mises, yeah, yeah. Institute. When this is what happened. Nick, I was here when they started. Tom Woods said something about referring some economic speech to something about Rothbard. And Nick comes out and says, you didn't learn anything from Rothbard other than how to lose elections of kind of what, where the hell did that come from? Why did you want to pick a fight with Mises? What the hell is the Koch brothers telling you to do on that one? Okay. I'm going, what the hell is going on? Why is it always, you know, Cato and these guys versus, you know, Ron Paul, Lou Rockwell, Jeff Dice, Tom Woods, Bill, you know, Stephen Kinsella, Bob Murphy on this Mises? There's some kind of what they don't care. They're like, what the hell? You want to choose that battle? It's because the Rothbard is so enticing to libertarians, and they go, that is the message. That is the understanding. And they see that as a threat. So they're going, nope, they attack it. Well, then I got the Mises guys all up in uproar, and here they come. Are they supporting your campaign or something?
Oh, the Mises caucus endorsed me. I was their first endorsement that they gave. Jeff Dice actually contributed to my campaign too. So
score! You know, the next guest we had Jeff Dice on a couple weeks ago, and I think he's the one, the professor of economics, the case against education. You know, Brian Kaplan's coming on next hour. So, these guys, no, I'm hip. We have Ron on, and you know, and all the guys. I mean, you know, right. Tom, Bob, yeah, kind of whatever. But the point is that. This, you know, like Jacob Hornberger, he's run for, you know, been involved in LP. All these guys got driven out by this mamby-pamby crap. But in Orlando, yep. I saw a good 30-something percent anarchist. They're just like, man, we're done. I could see the rising up. It didn't matter what the, you know, Bill Weld got it by, you know, 50.6% or some crap, you know, and I'm going, yeah, well, you triggered it. Here it comes. And the old Joshua Smith,
I'm taking it back, Ernie. That's what I'm doing.
Well, what is your job? What is your day job? Where did you come from? What do you do? You know, you can afford to walk around and do stuff.
Look, I'm a tradesman and facilities maintenance guy from the West Coast that's had enough of watching the party that he loves go away from libertarian principles. And I was able to put together a nice grassroots movement all over the country. You know, I've inspired a lot of people, and I've been able to raise enough money to travel to 17 state conventions, 21 states in total. I've been able to really get into the movement and put my finger on its pulse and find out what's going on as far as why we're not having electoral success, why we're losing members, why we don't, you know, and it always comes down to the same thing. It's, you know, there's always some argument, blah, 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 but at the end of it, it's all principles kind of.
Damn Skippy. I don't give a crap what they say, because even when you go to the committee, they've driven out all the real activists, even at the local level. You know, it's just, you know, you come in, all right, damn it. All right, are you going to say this stuff on the, you're going to be all no compromise and kind of, and everybody come in spontaneous order of I'll keep the, you know, the message clean and everybody go do whatever and I just kind of, is that you, are you guy?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm.
Don't pack my suit. I don't care.
Okay, you'll be there to see my debate this weekend, Ernie. So I look forward to having you there. I will talk about our principles a little bit in that debate. I promise. Also, just so to get this on your show real quick, for those that don't know, tomorrow Saturday, right, the 30th. We're having the Mises Caucus Bash. It is half a mile down the road from the convention. Yeah. We have Tom Woods speaking. Ah. We have Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center. We have Larry Sharp, myself. Backwards is playing. Alex Brissett will be speaking. There's some others as well. I'm forgetting, but
Dave Smith
is hosting, so it's gonna be.
Well, how many people did they bring? I mean, we getting invaded? You know what I mean? Does Bill Weld got to bring in a bunch of buses? I mean, what's going on?
He's gonna have to pack more than one bus next time. That much I promise.
Okay.
This is a movement, Ernie. It's not just me. I was just chosen to lead it.
All right. Well, lead it, represent it, do it. I don't really care. Yeah. But I just need to be able to whatever. All right.
Representing's a better word, right?
Yeah, represent. Because you go try and lead libertarians. I mean, the only way you get... How do you herd cats? I can show you how to herd cats. You want to herd cats? I'll show you how to do it. It's this way. It's how easy it is. Get a can opener.
Yeah, right? Feed them.
Now you start... You start opening the tuna, man. Here they come.
Feed them or shoot them. I mean, you know, currently the party's shooting them. It's time to feed them.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that was one thing. Nick was trying to... He was saying that there's never been in the party's history somebody that made a third term, and he wanted to be that third term. And he put in with the, you know, whatever crowd. I mean, I like, you know, Nick is pleasant enough to be, but his plan is just, it really, every time, we see each other probably, you know, every, you know, 6 to 10 weeks, you know, we're at something, you know, and it always gets into a match. Oh, man. Give me something that I can't help you. You make it impossible for libertarians to help. You make it impossible. You make it possible. Here comes the floodgates. Well, that makes you dangerous, too.
Let's open them up, Ernie.
All right, man. Bulletproof vest. You know, whatever. All right. Thanks for coming on, Joshua. It was a pleasure to get to talk to you. Hold on. I want to talk to you a little bit. But I tell you, guys, it's going to be the show. I've been telling you for, you know, a couple of years. I'm going... Right now, this weekend, it's going to be a history mile marker. I guarantee it. I'm going to take my remote with me. We'll do a show Monday to tell you all about it. Well, it's still going on because they're not even going to have the LNC votes until after the weekend. I don't remember that ever happening, but they think it's to their advantage. We'll see. Yeah, that's why they did it.
Oh, there's no doubt. Look, Ernie, I didn't want to say this on your show, but...
Well, this is recorded, so FYI.
Look, hey, how about this? I don't care if it's on your show or not. This is the biggest Libertarian National Convention they've ever had, especially in an off-election year, and there's a reason for that. The people are tired. They're tired of what's going on with the Libertarian National Party, and they want it changed. And so, yes, there is a reason why they're putting the election on Monday as opposed to Saturday or Sunday, and you can guarantee that's the reason.
Okay, what's the reason?
Is that there's a ton of people coming because they want change in the party. They want change.
And the reason that they're what? That they're freaking? That they're doing something? I mean, what are they doing?
Oh, they're changing the putting the election on Monday instead of on the weekend.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, all right, No, I saw it. I got up and stood and said I to the convention. You go to the probably C-SPAN has it or something. I go. I just want all you new guys to understand what's happening right now. What they just did. What they're trying to do. They're trying to set it so that if everybody leaves on Sunday, they're going to take over the party on Monday. Well, then what'd they do? Yeah. They moved it to include Tuesday for business, too. And I go, you sons of bitches, man.
It's like 2006 all over again, man. I mean, the Portland Massacre, look, it serves us to say that in 2003, 2004, we had, you know, $3 million to work with, which still isn't much, but it's double what we have now. And 30,000 members, Ernie. We have 14,000 right now. It serves us as a reminder that gutting our policies, gutting our principles, does not serve us well.
They don't care. You sit there and tell them. I could show them all kinds of stats on the no compromise message that Arizona was known for. It was that Wall Street Journal comes out and says, Arizona, the libertarian state. I mean, you know, and they had to kill it. They don't bolster this up. They don't use it as an example. In 2004, I ran against John McCain, and I got the highest vote total percentages, you know, in the nation of a third party run against two candidates. And they go, conventions everywhere. They go, oh, man, we need you to come tell us how you do it. Man, you almost spent no money. You got, you know, this percentage, and you're filling stadiums with voting. What up? What'd you do? I told people not to vote. I mean, you know, they go, never mind.
Yeah, but we gotta be libertarians. You know, if we're gonna be the Libertarian Party, we gotta be libertarians. Period. Plain and simple. That's the basis for everything we should be doing right now. Is be a libertarian.
I'm with you, brother. All right. You know, we meet and press flesh and talk, and you'll see what you like in person, and you commit to, and the guy saves. Because I haven't been looking other than you. People would say, you need to get Joshua Smith on. You need to get Josh. You know why? Well, go look at it. I ain't nothing. You know, you tell me why or I ain't doing. So, you know, finally, I'm glad we got you on and go meet and talk, and then we got Kokesh and his crowd for whatever that's going to be. We have Mises out there and just pissed off everybody else versus the buses. I mean, you know, so yep. We'll see what happens, but damn it.
We're going to fight the buses. We're going to fight the buses, Ernie.
All right. If I had just to make sure it got said, the stuff that I was talking about, I'm just, you know, who was I going up against? Red Path before, Wayne Allen Root. You know, these guys, I'm going, who's out there being the Joshua Smith at the time? You see my point? You know, so I just...
Wayne Allen Root's just behind the times. He's on TV now, shilling for gold, man, so...
Yeah, whatever. You know, you knew I was going to... I mean, I liked him. I mean, these guys, I get along with everybody, but don't sit there and tell me just because, you know, because everybody, they feel like they got a microphone or they got, you know, some... Because, you know, I'm well-known enough to... I could whatever if I really cared. But the point is that they think that makes the Libertarian Party. They think that is it because I could be the Libertarian. No, the freaking documents, the mission statement, the statement of principles, the reason for its creation, all of the people out there, the philosophy, the Rothbarding, and that's why they have to go after Mises and Rothbard, because Rothbard represented this, and it pissed off Cato when he's helping start Cato back in the day, and they didn't do what they wanted them to, and they kind of got whatever. So then the Kochs start retiring. They got a machine that's built up there. They look for the people that are the most active and the most vocal and the most, and they'll fund them, get their database, and then they're gone again. And I guarantee you they got the LP database. They do, and it doesn't matter. Because you're going to bring in the new of whatever, but they can suck it. And probably the only database they didn't get is Mises, and they probably got that too.
Yeah, I'm a Rothbardian guy. I mean, you know, Rothbard, Ron Paul brought me, you know, to reading, and I started reading Rothbard immediately, and that's what radicalized me was Rothbard.
Yeah.
For New Liberty.
Yeah, you know, and L. Neil Smith, you know, was a big part of that back, and he had a big influence on us and so on, and that's what they're afraid of. As you're seeing, I would go to Pork Fest in like, 9, 10, 11 years. You know, I've been going ever since, but these guys would be sitting there around the trees, discussing, having seminar, talking about downloading from Mises Rothbard articles on their Kindles. They would just sit there and be reading all, they'd spout off all kinds of stuff and think that I knew everything about, right? Because when they used to say, you're just a Rothbardian, like they were calling me the N-word or something. I'm like, what? You know, so who's that? I start reading, I go, yeah, well, he said, screw you, you know? So this is, if you represent that, you are a bigger threat. Then I don't know. Are you realizing how much you a threat, not just to they, them, those that are trying to take over the LP, but the big giant behind the scenes PSYOP of Bernays kind of control the world secret handshake, you know, club people?
Yeah, absolutely. Ernie, hear that. I'm going to tell you some things. That there are some people in this party that have been vehemently doing everything they can to drag me through the mud. They have gone into private family court matters. You know, my son's mother is a victim of a violent crime, so all of her records are redacted. A lawyer got into my family court records to pull stuff out and try and drag me through the mud. They've thrown slander at me. I was just blackmailed by the communist who's running for chair. I mean,
bring it on.
All right.
I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to get there.
It'll be electric.
All right. When are you going to be there? When are you going to be in New Orleans?
I get there tonight. It's about 7 o'clock.
Okay. I'll see you there. I got to get to my next guest. Joshua, it was a pleasure. I'm sorry we hooked up so late, but I'm glad we finally did.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be on your show anytime, Ernie. I appreciate you and what you're doing. And let's go get this win and start showing people libertarian values again.
All right. Peace, brother. Bye.